Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
When we last left you, the thought was, with some trepidation, because at least I had read the series wrong since the very jump, we thought we'd at least get a game seven. Sean made the prediction that he had Lakers in seven. I was straddling the fence, said, you know what, I think the Rockets would win, or will win, but I've been wrong about this entire series, so what's going to happen is they're going to get their ass kicked. And in some ways, I was right and wrong because I predicted being wrong, although I wanted to be right, and the Rockets did get their ass kicked. And that should feel quite familiar to people. Sean, I went back and looked at, really since the beginning of the Harden administration, the Rocket exits in the playoffs.
Of administration.
That's why I use the word. It was fun to say. As opposed to era.
Regime.
Yes, regime. Yeah, the Harden
administration makes it seem like a democracy. Regime makes it seem totalitarian.
Honestly, I should have used regime, considering how important James was and had all that control he had. But let's go with administration. Like, let's pretend like it was democratically decided that James Harden would be the leader of the Rockets. Since James Harden has been around, or was with the Rockets from the start, they've had eliminations, of course, because they've never won a title. So at some point, their season would come to an end due to another team beating them in the series. We've had some of them happening at home. In fact, outside of the bubble year, they've lost the final game of the year at home, stretching all the way back to 2017. Of course, there's a gap where they weren't making the playoffs. But can you guess, since 2013, how many games or elimination games that the Rockets lost were played within a possession?
Within one possession?
Yes.
Of ones they lost.
Of the ones, of the, since?
So like the
2013.
Thunder 2020.
They won that one with the block.
Yeah, so that doesn't count.
So, and I go back to 2013 because there, you know, the buzzer beater by the Blazers happened.
Oh, yeah.
So that counts. But that happened, I believe, in 2012.
That was 14.
14, yeah, 14. So that is the one that you would have at in your back pocket, 2014. Can you think of, you have Warriors defeats, you have Spurs defeats, you have a lot of Warriors defeats, and now you have a Lakers defeat. How many times they've played, and some Thunder defeats as well, how many times have they played within, like, a possession where it came down to the wire, one bucket here or there, even, hey, a late couple free throws very end.
I can't think of many that have been like less than double digits. So,
and that's my point. That's why I said,
I feel like they're all 15. I mean, 2018, Game 7 against the Warriors where they missed 27 straight.
That was 9.
That was 9.
Yes.
That's one of the more valiant efforts of the James Harden elimination.
So the closest besides the Dame bucket to end that series was 2019, another Warriors loss where they lost by 5.
Okay.
But
that's closer than I remember.
Close enough. But we've got 20 this past, well, I will say Friday, 20.
Yeah.
14 against the Warriors the year before. The bubble, they lost by 23. In their final game.
The Lakers.
2017, 39. 2016, 33.
Wait. 2017, what was that?
39.
Not quite double digit, or not quite to a possession?
Several possessions. It's not Knicks Hawks-like.
It's close.
But it's pretty close. So if you got that feeling of on Friday of, wow, we're really getting blown out here, and that felt like something you had gone through before? Yeah, you're right. Because the Rockets rarely compete in games that they get put down in. It's pretty much like, oh, this game's over by the third quarter, if that. And simply, we're running out the time. Where the other team isn't playing great, but your team has no shot of coming back. That has been the Rockets' MO for the better part of, well, really modern Rockets basketball since the 2010s began. They just go out pretty meekly, and Friday night was another example of that. So the season is over. The autopsies were written. Well, they got started after they went down 3-0, but now they're beginning in earnest. We have things to discuss from reporting involving how the team reacted to the burners, because now that seems to have just been confirmed and accepted. So it is all the stuff reporters kept in their back pocket waiting for the season to be over. So we'll get into that. But the game itself was one where you watched the Lakers come out the way they did, and I thought that they would. They didn't want a game 7. They had heard for about 36 hours that they were the team on the back foot, that the Rockets were going to take game 6 and make it a game 7. We heard predictions of the Rockets doing something that never happened before, coming back from 0-3 down. A lot of it was the momentum on the Lakers side or on the Rockets side. And you just expect that team to come out and hit the Rockets right in the mouth with energy, aggression. And they did that. And once the shots actually started falling from the Lakers, the Rockets had no response. And the Lakers defense gave the Rockets really no space. And there have been talks about the Rockets' inability to adjust on offense and really just how bad their offense is when you consider the lack of spacing. So we're going to hear from Ime Udoka. He's going to talk about what this roster needs, which I think is his first admission. And you do it after the year. You understand his mentality, not to make mention of it during the year, that there are some deficiencies on how this roster is built and what they can do to get better. Because it brings clicks, there will be a lot of speculation until some of these guys are moved or declared untouchable, that the Rockets are going to be in on some of the big names that could be available. Now, the Cavs are able to avoid losing in Game 7, so the Donovan Mitchell stuff gets pushed to the background a little bit with the Pistons series coming up, but that's a guy who I believe has 1 year left, and he's extension eligible. The question would be, would he sign if the Cavaliers flamed out? We will see if they can advance past the conference semifinals for the first time. Well, really in his... Has he ever made it past one when he was with the Jazz? I know not with the Cavs. So we'll see if he gets to a conference finals with James Harden as well. So he's a name. Of course, the Giannis stuff will pop back up. But from all accounts so far, KD isn't going anywhere. It would be someone to join him, which is not surprising. It feels like KD's at a status where he can determine his own fate, except if you're the Phoenix Suns who want to trade him, and then when they couldn't do it, he wanted out. So it doesn't look like we're going to have a major move involving Kevin Durant, but there could be one to bring someone in to help. So we'll talk about that a little bit as it is time to put the Rockets, at least their season, to bed, not their off season, because that'll be a focus of the conversation going forward, because they're a team who seems antsy. Like, they feel like a couple of years of not making out of the first round is too many, and they are going to make a move to avoid that for a third consecutive year. The question that I will hold right now, at least in my head, is if you're making a superstar move, would you have enough left to be a real contender? And that's the problem. You have juggernauts in San Antonio and OKC. So how, what move could be made to actually put you in a spot to be a contender? I get you want advance past the first round, but are you sacrificing and mortgaging some of your young players to simply be fodder for one of these teams with the hope that you would avoid either one of them until a conference final? So we'll talk about that. We'll get into some of the guys who showed out for the Rockets, but there are some numbers for some of the guys to tell you that this was a tough first-round series, which maybe you should expect from young players. We'll hear from Tari Eason as well. He was a player who had a contract discussed in the offseason, this past offseason, and he will talk about whether that affected him this year. So, season's over. They get blown out. It's kind of odd to talk about a game that happened several days ago as if it just happened, because we all saw it. And what is there to discuss when you get beat by 20 points? What turning point in the game can you point to? There was a big run from the Lakers, but it was an extended run. There wasn't like a moment where you're like, man, the Rockets really lost it. It was just they were never good enough on Friday night.
They shot 18% from three.
That's familiar.
That's just a home elimination game.
They'll
do it. They'll do it.
It was a runaway. And the Lakers, because they are who they are, their attention or lack thereof attention to detail at times is something that they have now talked about afterwards as something they have to fix going against OKC. But the Rockets weren't in a spot where they could take advantage of it. So we will continue to talk Rockets. The number is 713-780-3776. The season ends in a disappointing way, but we kind of knew this was coming for about a week and a half when you go down 0-3. They simply pushed off the inevitable for a while. At some point, the team, even if you make a run at them, the other team is going to find some answers, and that's what the Lakers did and put the Rockets to bed in a way that should be familiar when you consider some of the blowouts that the Rockets have suffered over the course of the last 15 years, either at home or on the road. But either way, they kind of go out meekly, and they did it again on Friday night in Houston against a Laker team that now moves on to face OKC. So we'll do more. We'll hear from some of the participants like Tari, like Ime. And we'll also play a quote from Tillman, because since this quote, and it was a confident one, but it was after another Warriors loss, there hasn't been a lot of playoff success. And I imagine he is someone who is antsy for it as well. So we'll get to Tillman for Tita way back in 2019 when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this is from Kelly Eco of Yahoo. Similar to Durant, the Rockets won't necessarily pigeonhole or wed themselves to one type of star. But desired additions such as the Clippers' Kawhi Leonard, the Cavaliers' Donovan Mitchell, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the 76ers' Joel Embiid, among others, will be discussed. Joel Embiid, that's not one I even thought of. Even excluding the comeback that they had against the Celtics, the thought of trade, first of all, the Sixers ever doing it, and even that contract that Joel Embiid has being attractive to anyone, yeah, it's nice that he's playing now, but that's for now. We are one random tweak from him being out the rest of the playoffs, and you want that type of anxiety on your books and your roster worrying about Joel Embiid from, I won't even say game to game, because if he's out, it'll be like 2 weeks at a time. But every 2 weeks, you're concerned that Joel Joel won't be around. Nope, I'm out on that one. That one, they're not asking me, but I'm saying no. No to Joel Embiid.
I don't know. Your best player this year missed 5 out of your 6 playoff games.
And you want more of that? You're looking for more of that? And how much? At least Kevin Durant's deal is like short term.
Yeah.
He's got a couple years after this year. Joel Embiid.
And game 7, like, Joel Embiid like is like limping for some of it. He's hands on his knees like an entire trip to the free throw line. He's just like, he looks exhausted. At the end, like, Maxi falls into his leg, and you're like, oh my God, is he just going to be out in the next series now? Like, there's no game. Like, it is game to game, because it's like every game that Joel Embiid plays, you're like, did I just watch a season end? No, he's going to score 30 tonight.
And his contract goes through 28-29. That's a player option where it's at $67 million a year.
I'm probably going to pick that up.
Yeah, he's probably going to pick that up. At age 34, he's probably going to pick that up.
Picking that one up.
So, no. The other one's palatable. Joel Embiid, nope.
Although he looked pretty good.
He looked great. That's a problem. It's only for 35 to 40 games at a time per year that he looks like that.
Yeah, I think two of the last 3 seasons, he's played like 38 games. So, that's tough. His team also won, so probably less likely to detonate. That I thought the same thing when I saw this list of like, all right, I guess Rudin gets the Cavaliers against the Raptors.
Kawhi's already out. You don't have to worry about that.
Makes it way more likely for Donovan Mitchell to request
you
a trade.
Yeah, you can root against them against Detroit as well. And more to, I guess, the point of Donovan Mitchell, it may not be him requesting a trade. It may be him just simply telling you, hey, I'm not signing an extension, where the Cavs didn't have to get active about making a move.
And Giannis is also in that mix of he has an extension, or he's eligible to sign the sign extension, or he can ride it out and basically say, like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Or trade me, and because I have 1 year remaining, that's where I want to go. And at a certain point, there is like, okay, kind of takes the like choice element out of it for a little bit for, you know, if you're the Rockets, you're like, do we want, especially this kind of powder keg of a emotional locker room, we want a Giannis who's like needs to be bought in or needs to like be sold on staying here? It's interesting.
I get how great of a player he is, but even the thought of having to make room for both brothers is like, do I want to get involved in this?
Well, also he plays 60 games a season.
And, yeah, and that's becoming increasingly more something that any team would have to deal with, his injury concerns. And then, hey.
And you have to build around him like very specifically.
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
I'm kind of against the Giannis. Like,
Kawhi, I'd be like, you know what? That, for whatever reason, that one is like, That's the stuff right there.
Because it is like, just give me 2 years of
you can
of
match up pure, your timeline with buckets. Kevin Durant. Yeah.
honorable hoops from Kawhi.
Either one of you actually wants to be a leader, which is tough.
That is Fred VanVleet, you're staying right here,
Very
buddy.
Important that Fred maintains a spot on the roster if both those guys are your top two guys.
You're General Patton of this team because the other two guys are just like, yeah, whatever.
And Kawhi's another injury guy, too, but he had one of the better years of his career this past season.
Who isn't an injury guy?
That's
I'll say
true.
B, though. Joel Embiid and Kawhi are like two of the top 5 injury guys
in
the league. So.
Kawhi played 65 games this year. He only played 37 the year before and 68 the year before. Yeah. So there have been certainly games missed on his ledger. Let's get to a guy who may make the determination of any move they make. In fact, he will play a major part, even though he's spending plenty of time in Italy. It is Tillman. This is back in 2019. Since this quote, where he was very defiant in the Rockets' chase to beat the Warriors, they have won a total of 1 playoff series. So, just more evidence that words don't really matter. But here's Tillman back in 19 after one of now many playoff failures for the Rockets.
The champions stood up to be champions, and we just need to learn from it. I mean, we have great athletes, we have great players. I'm a fortunate guy to have James Harden and Chris Paul on my team and Eric Gordon, but these guys stepped up in the second half, and that's why they're champions. And you know, hopefully we just learn from it and we can be better, but You got to give it to them tonight. They showed why they're the champions, and we're going to learn from it, and we're going to come back next year, and we're going to kick their ass at some point. I can promise you that.
There it is, that final piece. We're going to kick their ass at some point. And, hey, you can be wrong. He was really, really wrong. And I think I play that because it speaks to Tillman's mentality. He's not interested in what's going on right now. The first-round exits, last year, okay. Cool. We didn't like the way that went, but we played, well, the Warriors again, and they got us. This one can't sit well. The way it went, the conversations around his team, beyond the basketball, and this is why we're hearing already about potential major changes. And I asked the question, if Kevin Durant's the one who's going to stay and you're looking to make a major change for another star, who's leaving? Who's going out the door? And who would another team find attractive? Because you're always trying to limit the damage because you want to have stuff left. When you're sending out whoever you need to send out, what can you have left to have a real roster around them? Because we saw a very flawed roster this year bringing in Kevin Durant. We know the injuries to Fred and Steven Adams hurt. Dorian Finney-Smith being someone who you couldn't depend on hurt as well. So beyond a potential superstar coming back in a trade, there are some roster deficiencies, and Ime Udoka talked about those deficiencies. Let's hear from the coach on potential roster construction and what the Rockets can do to strengthen themselves. This was him after the game 6 loss to the Lakers.
Yeah, take an overall look at the group. Areas of improvement, no doubt. And you're not just hoping, honestly, Fred and Steven come back, and you never know how injuries guys come back. So it's not like we're just basing everything on them coming back. We still, as I've always said, want our young guys to grow and take steps, and I think they did that this year, and they'll definitely come back better next year. But do need to address some needs, the shooting, lack of shooting at times. Whether it's a backup point guard or our young guys did enough this year to kind of run that with Fred back. And so take a look at all those things. I think have some very interesting conversations on, having a little bit of more mix instead of some duplicates out there.
And coach, with that being said, how long will it take before you and maybe Rafael sit down and start looking at this roster construction and maybe get some more shooters or maybe get some more a different type of players on the team?
We'll get to it ASAP, pretty quickly.
So he acknowledges some roster deficiencies, and I think it's something we've all looked to and pointed at over the course of the year. They're simply not built in a way to complement their core pieces, even with Fred back. He's not a great shooter. And does that mean that it's Fred plus more shooting and maybe a backup point guard? That was something that was asked for throughout the year. Almost immediately since Fred went out, people were saying, hey, is there a way to help this backcourt? And they didn't do it. And Rafael Stone, who will be a guy along with Ime and others to build an offensive offseason plan, he's going to have to find a way to make up for his mistake. You heard Ime talk about a young guy maybe taking over that backup point guard role or maybe someone else being brought in to do that. Well, the first up option would be Reed Sheppard. He did not have a particularly great postseason shooting. He had his moment in game 5, but if you look at him overall, he was a 30% shooter from the field and under 30% from 3 at 28%. Those aren't the numbers of a knockdown shooter at all. Those are the numbers of Corey Brewer, and maybe Corey Brewer would be insulted by that as well. Now, he does it at volume, which you never want Corey Brewer to do, but those numbers would tell you that it's tough out here for a young player. He had a lot on his plate. He had to be one of your secondary ball handlers, got thrust in the starting lineup when KD got hurt, and then had to be your outlet shooter, the guy that you swung the ball to as defenses collapsed, and his responsibility was to knock down shots, and he did that at a rate that isn't sustainable. He cannot be that poor of a shooter to stay on the floor. We know there's a hesitation to throw him out there because of some defensive liabilities. He was forced to. Ime was forced to this playoff run because they had no other options. If they do bring in options like a backup point guard or just some actual shooters, Reed will even, maybe to the chagrin of some, get less time to work through some things if they have real options. He played a year where the Rockets didn't have real options to go to because they were simply a team that lacked shooting. If they find that shooting this offseason, I'm not saying he's going to get buried, but it's going to be easier not to play him if he can't defend at a high enough level. And then you have these streaky moments that he's had. He was a fine shooter overall during the season, at least from three, but there were moments where he couldn't buy a bucket. And I think he's still at a point where that'll get him buried.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a backup point guard and shooting and the third overall pick from 2024...
can't be either one of those things.
...is 6'2" and nominally a shooter, like shot 40 in the regular season, at least.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then you should just trade Reed Shepard. Like, that is what Ime Udoka is saying. Like, the only logical thing is like, well, can't have this guy on our team, essentially. Or I can't play him.
Yeah, I mean, if...
what you're saying is, like, replace him.
If you're asking for shooting and a backup point guard, what else is Reed Shepard
if
not that?
The only guy on your team right now that fits either box is Reed Shepard.
Now, it's only his first real playoff run. He played small minutes in last year's playoffs, but this is to the Draymond Green thing. And he's only 21. People forget that because the conversations about him have been seemingly endless. But he's only 21 years old.
Yeah.
And this speaks to me pushing back on the Peyton Pritchard stuff. And that's more of an attack on Ime that some have, that Peyton Pritchard flourished once he got away from Ime. Well, Peyton Pritchard was 27 years old when he started to flourish, as opposed to the 21-year-old that Reed Shepard is. But speaks to what Draymond says. Are you a 82-game player or are you a 16-game player, with the 16 games references winning four rounds to go win a title? And this was what this series... Well, last year was supposed to be what that series was about. That series was supposed to be about last year. Could the Rockets find 16-game players? This year, you had hoped to advance past that point where you could go win a playoff round. Did we get any answers about who are guys we can depend on in the playoffs? Reed Shepard, at the moment, isn't one of those guys. He'll have more opportunities. Would you say Amen is a guy you can depend on?
Depend on is strong, but he
is
can...
Is Amen a guy
he
who
can be out there
through 16 can help you win and be a real contributor for a deep playoff run, would you say?
I think so. I think so. Just like you need Kevin Durant, you need a point guard. You know, like he can be like a wing.
But even the version, I get what you're saying.
Like it was around 20 points per game.
If you remove some of the ball handling responsibilities,
yeah,
like
Oscar, the ugly stuff,
just go to his brother, Oscar Thompson. Now Pistons came back and won. He doesn't have the same responsibilities on offense because they have Cade Cunningham, and there was a chance, except you lost the lottery. Think of Amen playing the Asur role, where you're a defender, you clean up stuff. And,
yeah, Amen from last year.
Yeah, you could, mm-hmm. like, I think at that spot where you're not putting so much on him, I think he definitely is a guy in a playoff series who you can lean on. Not to shoot, because that will be the problem until he figures that out, but him on the floor isn't a detriment to you in a playoff series.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his role expanded to a point where it was probably more than should have been put on him, considering some of his limitations as a primary ball handler and shooter. That's just how they were built, or how they were improperly built due to several reasons. No Fred and no real backup point guard, because Reed Shepard wasn't ready for that role. So that the offseason will be certainly a big one for several people. Ime's not going anywhere. We have had a coach firing Jamal Mosley out in Orlando. He was fired, then saved his job, and then when he pulled the Doc Rivers, he got fired again.
Yeah. Can't Can't be doing that. And really, once they, what was it? Was it 1-for-20 in the fourth quarter? It was something horrendous in game six to blow that lead, where it's just like, all right. I've watched enough NBA basketball to know there's a double-digit loss coming your way now that you have to play. You choked away game six at home and have to go on the road for game seven. And it's like, yep, this thing. I mean, in a way, it's like, it's kind of like the Rockets, where it's like, at least you got closure. At least, like, it is like, all right, we're not going to get tricked into, like, winning around and keeping this coach that we obviously want to let go.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, he was gone even if they had won that series. It doesn't help.
I understand. I find it hard to believe that it's like, hey, this guy who coached our 8 seed to beat the 1 seed, we're still firing him. We still can't stand
the problem for him was Paolo didn't like him. And when your star doesn't like him, then...
And he played well enough that I won't go, who cares?
He played well enough in the back half of that series.
Right,
along with the rest of them, didn't make any shots in the second half of Game 6. But no, he did have a great Game 7. It just wasn't enough because Jalen Suggs was their version of Reed Shepard. Boy, did he
At least
miss...
he played defense.
Yeah, well, he missed... it doesn't really matter.
Ime Udoka just called in and said, hey, at least he played defense.
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of those long rebounds led to runouts because of his misses. And I guess you could say the same for Reed Shepard.
Yeah,
so.
That was one thing going back in time for Friday night. Like, you know that they're dead when it's like the Lakers are getting out and like running consistently on you. It's just like, all right, this... Not have like second quarter. It's like I can turn this off. I know what's happening.
It's the ebbs and flows of a playoff series, and it was the Lakers' time to bring the energy and the physicality, and they beat the Rockets to the punch, and it led to what we saw. Another bad loss at home in the playoffs. The Rockets have authored a lot of those in their playoff history the last 10 to 12 years, and it happened again against the Lakers team who moves on to face the Thunder. All right, we'll continue to talk Rockets. You guys certainly can call in. 713-780-3776 is the number. So we'll do more with the Rockets. We got sound from Tari. He is someone who did not have a year he was looking for. He talked about being a top 100 player going into the year. In fact, upset with ESPN, I believe, or maybe it was the Ringer. Either way, he was upset with one of those publications for not putting him there. He wasn't thrilled with the Rockets, and he couldn't agree on a deal. So we'll talk about the contract conversations and what it might have done to affect his performance. We'll hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, I had Sean listen to a clip. Chris, we see you. And it wasn't the Tari Eason clip. If you missed it over the weekend, Mitchell Robinson was fined $50,000. The guy he got into a fight with in the Game 6 win over the Hawks was Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels got hit with a $25,000 fine. The reason there's a difference between the two, despite them both doing the same thing, is Mitchell Robinson took to social media, Instagram specifically, to post a clip of an animated mouse singing what you would call, what type of, was it funk? What would you call that music? A bluesy?
Blues. It's bluesy.
Bluesy?
Yeah.
And it's a very funny song. I have a real desire to play it. I just don't know if we can. Like, I bleeped the most important word that would get us in real trouble. Like, the other words have been said on this air. In fact, we have clips of different people saying it, from Stephen A. Smith to a woman who was an analyst on a basketball game when she was really saying bench, but it sounded like a different word. And then how we close out every John and Lance show is the woman who was going on social media to attack LeBron after he either got thrown out of a game or had a verbal altercation with her at a game. So Sean has had to listen. I'm giving him certainly a vote because he'd have to play it. Is it playable?
I think it's playable. Yeah. I mean, the like part that would get us in trouble is bleeped out.
Okay.
Like the real part. The part that would actually get us in trouble. Me in trouble.
Yeah. There may be people who take issue with the words I didn't bleep out. But as I said, there have been words that have been said before.
It's not over any line.
No. So we'll have to find a way, I think.
I don't know if it can be a drop, but
I don't know. If someone is acting like Mitchell Robinson is saying Dyson Daniels is acting, is that when we play it? You know what?
Exhibiting the behavior.
You know what? Let's play it now because I cleaned it up enough as a one-time thing since we made reference to it, and if we can find a way to play it at some point, we will. So you got to picture this: Mitchell Robinson takes to social media after his Knicks win Game 6. And he gets into that fight with Dyson Daniels, and he wants to comment on what he thinks of Dyson Daniels. Now, it is a animated mouse or gerbil or whatever you want to call it singing, but then you get this coming out of the rodent's mouth.
Hey, I got a question because I really need to know. Do you ever get tired of being a bitch ass?
So it is 22 seconds of that. It's very funny to look at the rodent sing it. One of my friends texted me, goes, he laughed for 3 hours because one of his friends sent that to another one of his friends. So, Mitchell Robinson, I did not know you had it in you. It's just unfortunate that I can't see a pathway to playing that more often. It would have to be
It's a tough thing for us to hit someone with.
Yeah, it's difficult. That's a very insulting thing, so I don't think we'll do it.
People we don't know.
Yeah, we will. I played it in reference because it's a story. Mitchell Robinson got hit with 25K, and then he got another 25K for doing that.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
I did not. Yeah, look at the mouse sing the song. It's pretty entertaining. I just don't know. I didn't know that the NBA had that in their purview where they could fine you for just, a vulgar social media post. But they did it, and Mitchell Robinson said once fined when they asked him about it, I wasn't really paying attention in the meeting when they talked about it, so much so that he went on and posted something very similar, this time with a different person singing the song. So
it was a man.
Yeah, a man
lip syncing. It's the same audio.
Yeah, it's just a man lip syncing,
playing the role of the orange gerbil.
So there that is. Chris, we'll get to you here, but let's get to Tari Eason. I talked about going into the break someone who wanted a contract, and the Rockets were willing to offer him one, just not one to his liking. So it led to an impasse. They didn't get a deal done, which is very different from what they've done with other young players. Alpi got his, Jalen got his before he got traded, Jabari got his. And there's a thought that Amen will get the most of all of them. There's conversations about Amen getting the full max as opposed to a negotiated deal that the other guys got. We'll see if Amen's a $250 million player in the next months or so. But here is Tari on what impact that contract dispute might have had.
Did your impending free agency weigh on you at all this year, and would you like to be back here next year?
It's tough to say. I didn't think about it. I mean, you definitely think about it. But you know, I was drafted here. I've grown up here. My family's here. I love Houston. As far as everything else, you know, God knows.
So he will be a restricted free agent, so he can't just find the best deal and leave. The Rockets would have every opportunity to match if they so choose. And I've seen some stuff where that is the expectation, that at least the Rockets believe he'll be back. The question will be, does someone go out there with limited money available and use that money on Tari? Like, if Tari got the full mid-level, which starts at like 15.1, and that would be a 4-year deal from someone. I don't know if he'd be happy with that. He seemed to be someone who was hoping for 25 plus million when the Rockets negotiated with him. Is that something he would be happy with? Because then you're locked in with the Rockets for several years if they match it, and you're a guy who expressed wanting a bigger role coming into this year. And as it stands now, the hierarchy says you don't even start on this team when they're fully healthy. Just think about it. If Fred's back, Kevin Durant's back, where's Tari playing? He's the sixth or seventh man. So that doesn't mean expanded role, at least not in his eyes. So
He may be someone who pulls a Cam Thomas, but for different reasons. If we remember, Cam Thomas could not come to an agreement with the Nets. So he would. He said, I'm going to just take the whatever the tender is and then become an unrestricted free agent. Of course, he eventually was let go by the Nets, and then he signed with the Bucks, and then they let him go. So where his career is going into another free agency period, we will see. Maybe Tari wants to avoid that particular fate. He has more to offer than Cam Thomas does because he's more than a scorer. Yeah. So there's more value for him in the NBA. But that's a path it could go. Like, it could go the Kuminga path where you come to a short-term agreement and you eventually get traded someplace because y'all come to the agreement that it's best for both parties to go. That's what happened with Kuminga, and they eventually made the trade. He flourished with the Hawks. Or the Cam Thomas thing is, yeah, I'll wait. I'll test the market when it's my time, and two teams cut you. So Cam Thomas being a one-way player and just strictly a scorer, there's not a lot of value for that for teams who care about winning big. You can find your way to, like, the Kings or the Pelicans or wherever, but if you are looking to be on a real team that has aspirations, one-way players who are strictly, like, high-volume shooting guards, that value for them is decreasing quite a bit.
They're out of fashion.
Yes. So Tari's a different type of player, but it could be interesting for him if he doesn't get a deal this season from someone, whether it be the Rockets or otherwise, and he's taken the tender to just become an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season.
Yeah. It helps him that there's some more cap space out there this year than previous years. So, like, even a team like the Bulls or the Nets, honestly, where it's just like a flyer on a young guy for two teams that, like, you know, they don't have a ton going on, you know, especially they seem like they're still looking for just any young pieces, especially the Bulls, where they're just trading for any young piece, and they turned out, oops, all point guards. We need to work this out a little bit. And one's asking a lot of questions to people in the locker room and the media, and I guess he was right about the Pistons not mattering on Judgment Day, but still we have to release Jaden Ivey. But if I'm Tari Eason, like, it really is just like, does he want to give it a shot as like a guy who gets to have the ball in his hands and shoot some more? Because like those options like would be out there. Now it'd be on two of the worst teams in the league, or to what look like they're going to be the worst teams in the league? Or does he, like you say, like want basically to try this again for a, you know, contract year and take the qualifying offer? Because the role he had this year will just still be available to him on the Rockets next. So is it just a, like, hey, if I just, you know, make more of my threes, play a little bit better defense, like I will just get now like a $25 million deal? Like that's the calculus that he has to do. And I mean, for someone to just like openly be like, I want a bigger role, it seems like what's more likely is that one of these teams with money to burn and a role to give will offer him a contract that I wouldn't think the Rockets match, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and wanting a bigger role was a point over the weekend when Jaylen Brown went to a switch. We'll talk about that in hour two, because sometimes maybe we just don't go to streaming, even if you really, really want to talk, because he had to delete the stream because none of the things he said really went over well, unless you're a real Jaylen Brown stan. Let's get to Chris here before we wrap up hour one. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. I think with the Rockets, I just feel like, you know, they made the changes that they made to get Kevin Durant, and they pretty much closed the window even more shut than it was when we felt like it was the trajectory was to go up with the young team that we had. But getting rid of Jaylen and Dillon, I really wish you would get rid of Jabari instead of Dillon, but Dale, you know how I feel about that.
I do.
And so I just feel like, honestly, if we could do anything we can to require, if possible, Donovan Mitchell and Giannis, I don't see how. But if Jabari could be a part of that package, I wouldn't mind. And I don't know. I just feel like Jabari is where he's going to be. And he almost gives me a Tari Eason role coming off the bench. And I just feel like we just at this point with KD just getting older, I mean, they're not going to move KD, so why not just do anything they can possible just to acquire the best players they can to give KD what he wants and hopefully get us a championship within the next 2 years. And I hang up with this. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. Chris is never-ending, and I appreciate the commitment, never-ending crusade to get Jabari Smith off his favorite team's roster. Understandable. Everyone has that guy.
Every man has a code.
Everyone has a guy that they don't. Everyone has a guy they don't want on their team. It's the way it is. And Jabari Smith, who's from all accounts, solid dude, stand up dude. Yeah. Nothing offensive about Jabari other than he's not good enough of a basketball player for Chris. And okay, that's fine.
Yeah, no. I mean, honestly, like the interpersonal dynamic, I mean, other than the burner stuff, but just among the young guys, there's not really like one guy who's like off the court that you're like, I kind of want to get off this guy while we still can. Like, they all, you know, like, even
Cam Thomas's on this roster.
Yeah, or Cam Whitmore's, you know,
they already did that.
Yeah, so, you know, even like Shingun's, where it's like, yeah, the complaining stuff on the court, but off the court, seems like a great guy.
He likes Harry Potter. Thompson, he's a Gryffindor. Like a all these guys seem like really nice individuals. What the caveat is, we don't know anyone, but from the impressions,
they need to make a jump shot though. That's what they need to do.
It's true. Oh, that's why Tari got with Lethal Shooter. We'll see who's next.
We could have used that before. You think four of the series?
You
Tari.
Think it would hurt Reed Shepard's brand if he got with Lethal Shooter, considering what he's supposed to be? Even though he was very poor, I don't think he'll do it. I don't think he
won't post about it.
He will toss away this postseason as. That's not who I am.
Small sample size.
Yeah, yeah. As far as a move, I get it. The thought of acquiring one more star player to pit with Kevin Durant and also have Fred, because apparently Fred's a part of any big three. It is it is something that Fred will look back on and go, you know, it wasn't so bad that I tore my ACL. It really helped how people thought of me.
Super helpful.
Super helpful for everyone's opinion of me and how important I am to a potential championship team. So Donovan Mitchell, Giannis, we went through the names, Kawhi, and then to at least for me, a lesser extent, Joel Embiid. You have to take this into account. Yes, the Rockets tried to accelerate their timeline by acquiring Kevin Durant. Are you going to have enough left to pair with Kevin Durant and whatever other star you acquire to go compete for a title? Because if you're talking Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs aren't going to do that cheaply.
No.
Giannis won't be cheap. Joel Embiid would. I don't think the Sixers are in the spot to do that now after they finally beat a good team in his era there. But even if they were willing to go, you know what? This was fool's gold. He's just going to get hurt again. What can we get for him? What are you going to have left if it's you're sending, obviously, Shingun's going out. It's Durant, Embiid, and they're likely going to want more. Maybe you retain Amen. Maybe. I guess that would be the goal. Everyone else can go if you have Amen and your second star, or you're at this point you want the other guy to be better than KD. Your first star and then KD and Amen.
Yeah.
And then your picks are going out the door too.
And then you try to keep one of Jabari and Tari, I think. Or Reed, but probably not.
Yeah, I would.
Reed would be the easiest one to be like, how about you do it?
It just depends on which star you're trying to acquire and when it comes to how much you're giving out. So would you have enough left over to really give the Thunder and the Spurs a run at it?
Yeah, it's interesting that, I mean, we can go to break and talk about this. About this in depth, because I was going to start a whole new conversation, but let's go to break.
We go to break, and we have not talked about, you know, a team who did have a pretty good weekend, the Astros. They take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. The Red Sox are bad. They've already fired their manager and their staff, so the only real juice to it, it's Boston, but it ain't a Red Sox team of any real consequence this year. But you did take 2 out of 3, so you win a series on the road, and now you get the Dodgers coming to town. Dodgers are in town starting tonight. I mean, our guy's in town. At least my guy, Yamamoto's in town. He's pitching tonight.
Got tickets?
No. Still, no. And also, Ohtani will pitch in this series, too. So, you think Imai is like... Do you think Imai pitches tomorrow night in Sugarland? How do we make it comfortable?
I'll just say.
I mean,
Jim Crane is very upset about that fact.
I mean,
if we could have gotten Imai Yamamoto or Imai Otani,
it could have been like
in Daikin Park. He's like, this is what all this was for.
I mean,
what are we doing?
It is a real kick in the nether regions for Jim Crane to have those two guys pitching in the same series and his guy not pitching in this series.
No, because of arm fatigue. To be fair, his arm is just fatigued.
His arm is fatigued, and he doesn't feel great about being in this country pitching right now. So that's tough. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
It was the dream. You got the Dodgers in town. You got two of their Japanese superstars in town, and you've got your own waiting in the wings. And by wings, I mean he's a space cowboy for the next couple of days, and he'll be pitching along with Josh Hader tomorrow. They're both pitching tomorrow as they try to return to form. Imai in his first minor league start with the Corpus Christi hooks. Maybe Corpus is even more uncomfortable than Houston, considering what he did. And we'll talk about that in hour two as well. We will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.